Thank God. Yes, my feelings are so easily offended. Thank God. Now, having lived in Seattle, you know, which has now changed with all the people sniffing fentanyl off the sidewalks if they can get past the poo, and then living in Africa a little over 10 years, trust me, you guys don't scare me. So we want to look at something that God really did put on my heart in my daily devotions, reading just back fresh from the Midwest this last week, an incredible men's rally there that I was blessed to be able to do with Pastor Campbell, and then go into a revival there in Carbondale the Sunday through the Thursday. Got to see Pastor Snyder. Eli brought a couple great guys with him from Ohio. These guys were rough and tough, man. They're safe. Guy couldn't handle some film, some evil eye on this guy, kills him, tries to hide him in the floorboards. The police come, interview him. It's the perfect crime. They go away, they come back. And on one of the things is this dead person's heart beating. Actually, it was his own heart, no doubt, the conviction, but he just threw it off and threw it off and threw it off. And finally, he says, okay. And he confessed of the crime, and obviously he was imprisoned. You know, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us as men, it is a spiritual GPS device. That we could understand God has good things for us. There's so many of us here this morning. Some of us are saved. Well, maybe most of us, but all of us need to understand that our God, He has better things for you and I than we know. And if we are going to make this journey called life a success, we must understand there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction, it is good for us. And here we're reading a true life story. I have never bit off spiritually more than I can chew, but if you could think of a way to cut and paste this story, that would be helpful to me. But we want to look at this in verse 14. The words going around about Jesus, who he is, and we get a feel for this here in verse 14 of what really is going on. I'll just take it down to 16. I can do that. But when Herod heard, he said, "This is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." Now we get some background. "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and a holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Then an opportune day came. When Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officials, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give it to you up to half my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorrowful. And yet, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the freedom that we have here in America to gather this morning, even as this men's breakfast is set in time to make a difference for us. Father, we ask that your name be honored and glorified, yes, but also that every one of us as men, we will take clearly the sure good word that you give every one of us. Thank you, Master, for all that you will do in this time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And most of us said, amen. Always one in every crowd. Hallelujah. It's not just the name of an Eric Clapton album. Herod began to get some intel about this Jesus of Nazareth. Are you with me? But somehow inside, Herod knew that what he had done, what he had been involved in, he was wrong. And that is why you and I here in Prescott, it is both a blessing, but it's a challenge, isn't it? That we don't just hear the preaching, we don't just hear the words, but that we would be open to understand the power of conviction. It's something that God meant for good. So many people, as I have the privilege to travel a little bit and see in places to preach, and it always amazes me, some of these guys actually have me come back. Man, for a number of years living there in Zambia, the only thing that came back was malaria. And that's not good. But over time, you go back and you see in a man's eyes, you see in a man's face something in life. He is under good preaching, but he's not processing some things well. In other cases, I go back, I don't see their face, and I begin to inquire, oh, yeah, he just kind of stopped coming. You see, so many today, we can reach our own conclusions, right? We can begin to process and begin to edit our own ideas. Here in our text, if you read a little bit in 14th verse, some people again said, no, this Jesus is John, some say Elijah, and another prophet. But that lets us know, even then, it's not enough what other people say. Somewhere in life as a man, for God's sake, you have to make your own decisions. If you let other people always decide for you, what will you have at the end of the day? For sure, at least something less that God has personalized for your life, for your destiny, for your future. Herod's been confronted with his sin. We won't go into all this, but it's an illicit marriage. But it lets us know it's possible to be convicted, but not convinced. To please his wife, Herodias, he goes and sends to have John arrested. There are many people I know, and I've been here. Too many men today, they live to please others. Oh, you may not send somebody off to be arrested, but we say things, we do things, we want to get along, so sometimes we go along, don't we? Bless you. Herod and Herodias, instead of getting rid of their sin, they were bent on getting rid of the voice, weren't they? There are times, friends, we get dealt with by God. But let's be honest here. Nobody wants to be called out. Nobody wants to be told in public, not right what you're doing. There's somebody here this morning. It's easy with this many people, but if you're the only one in the room, narrows it down. But think of this, the embarrassment, the shame. This is public what John did to Herod. The Bible tells us that this woman, Herodias, she bore a grudge. And where I just came from in the Midwest, there's a lot of people, man, they can hold a grudge against their pastor. Why did he preach that? I think he was looking at me. The truth is, she could do nothing. But come on, men, the man could have done something. Mark 6 and 20 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For Herod respected John and knew deep down he was good and a holy man. He protected him. And he greatly was disturbed whenever he talked to John. But even so, he liked to listen to him." Woo! Boy, is that the difference between a Sunday morning and a Sunday night sermon. Man, it really bugged me. I don't know. But we like it. Something inside of us, men, we like to be challenged. We like to be put on the spot. If there's something wrong, God can make it right. If something is broken, God can fix it, right? And many come to church, hear the preaching, they're upset, but they protect certain things. I'm not saying it's you, but I'm saying it is some. They come to church to be seen, to please others. They want to be involved in this thing or that thing. Matthew 16 and 13, the Bible says, this is the Living Bible, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who are people saying that I am?" Well, some replied, "You're John the Baptist." Some say, "You're Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them directly, "Who do you think I am?" Simon Peter answered, "The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." God has blessed you, Simon Barjona, "for my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you." This is not from any human source. That lets us know that wherever, whenever the Word of God is honestly going forth, God can still today in 2019, with this many men, God can cut right through, friend, and begin to speak to you personally. To reveal things. Even those rooms, do not enter, stay out. God wants us to know that He is here for us. And it lets us know that any genuine conviction, it's from the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That God would help us to be better. Brings us to the danger of procrastination. I would think, and again, forgive me if I'm trying to encourage you here, but I'm thinking to myself, self, pretty much every normal person wants to be right, wants to do right. Maybe I'm getting a little bit nervous there. I don't know. We do want to be at peace, don't we? Here in our text in verse 20, the King James, it says, Herod feared John. He knew he was a just and a holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. It's amazing. Herod still wanted to hear, even though it disturbed him, even though he got upset. There's something inside of a man. Our DNA is wired differently than girls. Our DNA, whether we are right now saved or going to be forgiven today, we need to understand that God has wired inside of the heart of a man to know some things in life, they're not right. We do want things to change. We don't want our story to end that way. And God can help us today once again to change, can't He? See, we don't know how long, and I don't go to the commentators, especially stuff like this, because it's opinion. We don't know how long Herod kept John in prison. But it's just amazing to me that he was there long enough to hear. Be disturbed. Send him away. Call him back again. And it lets us know we live in a world of moral compromise, don't we? We live in a generation that doesn't have the accountability that we always should. Herod was a king. But the real issue here in ours is the will of the king, isn't it? And I would have to say it would not be an easy thing to have your sins pointed out in public. But I believe we have to be very, very aware as this year rolls away. Can you believe it? 2 weeks and a blink, we're going to be putting another calendar on our walls. We have to be really careful that the fear or the shame of being exposed is greater than just dealing with something when it comes. Herod was experiencing guilt and shame, but he was somehow not able to conclude, I can make this right. Isn't this what the Bible calls being a man of two minds? He could have just kept him locked up and there you go. But see, there's that will and that won't and two minds, putting it right, putting it off. One day I'll deal with that. One day I'll... Well, in the New Living Translation, James 1:8, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. James says it well in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, the double-minded. There's things in life, man, we want God to fix, right? God can do this. This could be pain, loneliness, anger, resentment, unfairness in life, loss, lust, habits, any number of these things, sickness. His 18-year-old named Fabian Gonzalez was a very bright and talented, motivated high school senior. He's right on the brink of his graduation. Waiting for him in the fall was a $32,000 scholarship to attend Northward University. But before he could realize that, his dreams were shattered. One night never reached his potential. He lost his life in a tragic motor accident. But as they began to investigate, unlike so many with his situation, there was no drugs, no alcohol, no real reckless living. What it was, he died not breaking the rules, but trying to keep the rules. Somehow at this party, he was delayed with his friends. His parents had him on a curfew. He was supposed to be home at a certain time, but he delayed. And finally, he wants to make the time up, so he's speeding, and he lost control of his vehicle. And I'm looking at this and thinking this through. We don't know what distracted Fabian to this very day. But I want to say how easy it is today to be distracted from things. The tyranny of the urgent, things that we think are so important right now, around friends, around this time of year, that we could easily get distracted and try to do things that we do not understand. But you see, now is the time that as God deals with you and me as men, as we enter into another holiday season, whatever God has for us, we need to understand that we all could have the best intentions, but that does not cut it by itself. Psalms 119 and 15, the psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. You know, I believe, and now you can have your own, correct me if when I'm wrong, but please wait till after. It'd be awkward right now. I believe that perhaps the only person that would ever tell Herod the truth was John. Oh, he didn't like it. It bugged him. But every time he would call on John, he knew that John would tell him the truth, not what he wanted to hear, but deep down what he needed to hear. And we need men like this today. Men that can look us in the eye and say, man, I'm praying for you, I'm with you, but I want you to know, don't go that way, don't do that. And that brings us before our prayer, and that's cutting off conviction. What captured me in this, what stirred this, is verse 21. Then an opportune day came. We don't know how long John the Baptist was in prison. But we need to understand the day could come for you and me. That if we're not willing to deal with something, if we're not willing to let conviction cut some things off from us, the Bible says that on the opportune day, Herod on his birthday party gave a feast for his nobles, high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. Man, the setup was made, wasn't it? The party, the dancing, the promise. It is amazing to me how badly someone with that kind of position is still so craving approval that he would say things and do things that he knew deep down were not right. But for any one of us here this morning without action, we can begin to decide to silence the conviction. In this case, it's John. I don't think in any way it's wrong to be liked. I don't think it's wrong to have friends. But we need to understand, and I see this more and more, we cannot be so desperate for approval that we begin to let things go. We begin to let things not be dealt with in our lives when God begins to deal with us. Can I get a witness? Even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was tempted, baptized by this man, his cousin John, led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted those days. And thank God we know our Savior, he did it. He resisted those three major temptations, and the devil left him for what? A more opportune time. That the whole purpose of these breakfasts and getting together is that God would challenge us and, to me, encourage us as men. That God still cares enough about me to deal with me when our pastors preach. That God still cares enough about my future that when I pray, that when I read, that little inner GPS begins to turn around when possible. And later on, Jesus is standing before this same man, Herod. And what an amazing event the Bible records. Luke 23 and 8, and Herod was delighted with the opportunity to see Jesus because he had heard about him and had been hoping a long time to see him perform a miracle. And he asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus did not answer him one word. Jesus understood something about Herod. You're great at asking questions. You don't want the answer. You won't listen. And I don't know about you, but this scares me. That when I'm needing answers, that when I'm needing instruction and all these different things that go through our lives, thank God, God today uses His Word. He uses preaching. He uses our pastors. He uses our friends and circumstances to still speak to us today, doesn't He? God will never, that I would know of, force Himself on you. He won't make you and me change. And I believe with all my soul, Jesus being God in the flesh, he knew that Herod was just not willing. Herod was sad. The Bible records it again. But again, because of public, now he's given his word. Whatever you want. Up to half my kingdom. You do your study. He was a Roman worker. He didn't have a kingdom to give. It's amazing the promises we'll make to ourselves and others. Oh, I'll deal with that one day. No, I promise, man, I'll deal with that. This could be the thing in substance abuse or whatever. No, we make promises. They're empty. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Up to half of my kingdom. Herod, you don't have a kingdom to give. And yet, because it was done publicly, the oath, the promise, oh, he was sad. But he sent the order. What he'd been putting off, eventually he cut off that conviction. You may have read this, November 23rd, I think it was 06. Ethiopian Airlines B767 aircraft, en route from Addis Ababa to Nairobi, Kenya, was hijacked by three Ethiopian males. They had demanded the plane change course and fly to Australia. The pilot pleaded with them, showing them the range, showing them the instruments. We don't have enough petrol, to no avail. The hijackers were unconvinced. 3.5 hours into the flight, the pilot gets on the intercom and tells everyone to get ready to brace for a crash landing as they were losing altitude. It was right there, a passenger named Andrew Meekins, a born-again believer from Addis Ababa. He rose to address the other passengers in row 11C. And he began to tell everyone who would listen to him the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. This man, passenger Meekins, he died in the crash. But a surviving flight attendant testified, 27 people on that flight, including him, prayed a sinner's prayer that he said. Don't wait for the 11th hour for you to do right. There may not always be a Meekins in your life on your intercom speaking to you and me. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, at the right time I've heard you. On the day of salvation I've helped you. Indeed, the right time is right now. Today is the day of salvation. You see, this morning as we gather in, there is so much, and I see this, youth rallies, men rallies, revivals. There is so much relentless pressure put on us as men today. Part of the world trying to neuter us. Part of the world trying to add all kinds of testosterone. So mumps, we're getting mumps back again. But come on, man. Somewhere along the highway called your life, you have got to understand conviction and doing what is right. It is not something to put off. Because if you make an aim to keep putting it off, so worried about being caught, found out, whatever it may be, we need to understand conviction will save us. Conviction will keep us saved. Conviction will help us reach the finish line. Because every one of us, we want to finish well, don't we? And I know this is not a rah-rah shishkumba, but I believe with all my soul, God dealt with me to minister this morning. There are so many of us as men, decisions, pressures, things to provide for a wife, kids. Some of you single people growing up, we work hard and all these things. We have got to understand in all the busyness of life, never blot out that still small voice. Because God wants us to be changed for His glory. I'm going to ask us to just bow our heads, please, for a moment. And I do so thank God not to be wagging on and on. Thank God for you this morning coming out. Appreciate the El Jefe Chefes there in the kitchen. Life is full of pressures, opportunities. Things that every single day literally encroach upon us and force us to make choices, decisions. There are times when we do that. Right then at the moment, it seemed right. It felt right. But then down the road, we can realize that this is not the way I want my story to roll. This is not the end of my day. No, this is not the way. I know there's got to be more. I'm ready for a change. I want things to turn for me. You see, this morning, God loves every single one of us. And what attracted me, what kept me being saved out of the music business, thinking I'm moving to Prescott to start a music career, God had other plans. And one thing I know, that being saved, being forgiven, is the greatest adventure that you and I could ever know. And what really encountered me was to realize there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned, all fallen short of the glory of God. What that means, friend, this morning, there's not one of us men better. There's not one of us worse. We all need a Savior. And that is the starting line. That is the starting point. And I wonder this morning, before we just pray and ask God to help us all as men, maybe as you've come in this morning, you don't understand all this, cutting off conviction and these stories and this, but you realize that there are things going on inside of you. You know they're not right. You know you don't want things to stay this way. This morning, you can be forgiven, friend, no matter what you've done. No matter how long it's been, if you want this, you can be forgiven. You can be free. It's not some random chance. It's a choice. And this morning, we're not asking you to join our church, join a men's choir. But this morning, getting right with God, it's something you need to do, something I believe some of you want to do. We have to start somewhere. And today in this place, as you're here, you're not saved. You're not right with God. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus. But the Bible says we must be born again. And you want that this morning, right where you are, just as you are, just to keep you in prayer. You want to start today and say, God, I want to have you forgive me. I really do want to do right. I want to live right. And I want to start today. That's you, friend, right where you are. Would you lift up your hand quickly, just one time? All over this place, you want to be forgiven. You want to know. Lift up your hand. God bless you. Others, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. This is no one going to ask you questions. Backslider, maybe at one time, sir, you knew what it was to be walking in the things of God. But life, pressure, choices, friends, this is not shame off on you. It's shame off you. Others today, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. God is pulling on your heart right now, and you want to get those wrongs right. Quickly, lift up your hand. Quick, just slip it right up. Put it right back down. God bless you. Other men, all over this place today, unsaved, backslidden. What a great morning it is, but let's not be irresponsible with our, let's make it count. Don't leave this place the same way you came in, sir. God can fix this. God can do anything if you'll let Him start here today. One last call, unsaved. You're not sure? Well, you need to be sure about this. Lift up your hand. Quick, join these others just to keep you in prayer. You want to be forgiven. You want to rededicate to Jesus. Just slip up your hand quickly all over this place. In Jesus' name, thank God. I tell you, I sense the love of God here today. Thank you, Jesus. Then I want to ask us this morning if we could stand together as men. We're not going to keep you, that's for sure. And I'm not going to start singing, that's for sure. The angels will start hitchhiking out. But we this morning, as we just take a moment and just let God just search our hearts, let God have His way with us before we do seal this in prayer. I am so thankful that we are a Spirit-filled congregation. We are. We're Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, set apart for the Master's use. And one thing I know about life, it's when we are fully ready. Sir, God wants you to know when you're fully ready, He is so waiting for you. He wants to do things for you. He wants to do things in you. Many are the disappointments that life can bring our way. But sometimes the greatest thing we could ever do is hand it over, hand it off to He who does everything right. God's here for you, and He wants the very best days to be planned out not only, but to be lived out into your future. How many of us love the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. I want to say to Randy Foster, I saw him earlier on. Randy, the Lord God who really does see in secret, He rewards openly, brother. And there are some things in life that we on our own, we can do, we can achieve, we can try. But sometimes when we come to that crossroads of life, the way Moses did, Moses didn't just say no to one way, Randy. He said yes to another. And God wants you to know, do not stare at those doors you think that have closed. You look for that door that God has opened unto you, my friend. And He is faithful in all ways and all things. And God will reward you openly in these days and bring such a refreshing and such a blessing. He can restore the joy of those early days, salvation. And that's what you've been praying for. God, I must have a new heart. God's going to do it. What a wonderful God we serve, isn't He? I mean, He is like way smart. He's like really smart. And He is the one who stays closer than any brother. And there's things in life we can go through, and I'm not here to meddle in any way, young man. But Jesus was God in the flesh. You and I have feelings because He gave them to us. Jesus knows what it's like to be lied about and lied to and betrayed. And because He knows what it's like to go through those things, that is why, friend, He is always only just a prayer away. And there's always, always hope with your name on it. As you ask of Him, He will show you great and marvelous things that you do not yet know of. Praise be to God. What a great presence of God. Hopefully it's not the stuff they put. You didn't know they put medical marijuana in those scrambled eggs. I'm just kidding. I like this church. I'm just kidding. Thank God. But what a great atmosphere it is this morning and all that God wants to do and what God is doing. And I, before even getting onto the plane yesterday, the first little puddle jumper there from Marion into St. Louis, God dealt with me about two friends that I want to just minister to. And if you're upset, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But one is that God wants you to know that in any vessel that's reliant on propulsion from oars, He wants you to know that it's not just the helmsman, but that one that calls the beat, that one that calls the cadence, to dip an oar in here, to pull one up over there. God wants you to know that the part that you and Carrie are playing, it is supernatural. It never was. It never was meant to be just filling a slot and doing something and sliding over. God wants you to know that the impact of what was building up into all of life, everybody in life wants to make a difference. But God wants you to know truly your lives are making a difference for the eternal. You know, sometimes when you would sing or the things that you do, before some of our events, somebody will get up, and what will they would do? They'll give a what? A testimony. And Brian, God wants you to know that so many people, they want a testimony, but many people fail to remember the first four letters of that is test. And God wants you to know, young man, you've not only passed that test, but in the times and the seasons of life, there are things that I know I have gone through, my own personal failures. I've not just come out a different man, a better man. And there is a sensitivity on you, Brian, that maybe always was there, but God has unearthed that, and He wants you to know that His hope and power and promises for your future, they are not negated. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And whatever God has, Bri, let God have His way. Let God be true and every man a liar. But know that God is building a renewal of confidence, and what you are doing, it is called to be eternal. The gifting and the calling of God is without change of heart. I want to ask you, brothers, this morning to put your hands onto your heart. Now, I know Brother P could have his way, we'd be saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We probably should. But I want you to pray this morning and say, "My Father in heaven, I thank you so much that deep inside of me, you have given me a great gift called conviction. Father, right now, I make a fresh decision that I will be open. I will be attentive to the Holy Spirit in your promptings and dealings with my inner man. Father, in times past, I ask forgiveness of throwing off those convictions. Right now, I make a fresh dedication that I will deal speedily with the things your Spirit tells me about. Father, I thank you for all you're going to do. Release healing, strengthening, and dominion in my life. I take authority over all guilt and shame and remorse of the past. Right now, I make a decision to go forward. Thank you, Father, for setting me free, and I thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. I thank God for Anthony.